So a question I want to begin with today is, so what exactly are you thinking? If we were to take what you have been thinking about in the last 24 hours and put it up on a screen for everyone to see what you've been thinking about, would you be comfortable with God showing everyone what you've been thinking about? I want to begin a series today, and we're so grateful that Joanne, who just about everyone here, if not everyone knows, works for us as a gifted counselor and helping so many people. And what we want to do for the next five Sundays is talk about having a healthy mindset. Throughout the scriptures, we are reminded of how to think. And thinking has an effect on all parts of our spirit and body and intellect and emotion. Get down the road of negative thinking and you can get sick pretty quick. Or if emotions just sort of take over because of our thinking, it can affect us in many, many ways. So what we want to do is look at different aspects of thinking on a weekly basis. And today, as was the reading today in James chapter 3, it talks about an earthly mindset, and it also talks about a spiritual mindset or a heavenly mindset. And how do we live as human beings on this planet, fulfilling the word of God and living through the fruit of God's spirit, as was talked about, and reaching out with Christ? The Apostle Paul spoke emphatically about thinking. And he said this, and it's a magnificent thought. We take captive every thought. Really? That's difficult to do. We take captive every thought, and we make it obedient to Christ Jesus. So today we just want to spend some time thinking about all of these things. And Joanne's going to share with us a number of thoughts from the scripture and also from James on having a healthy mindset. And then when she finishes, I'll get up and say a few words as well. Joanne.
So as Don mentioned, we're going to focus on an earthly mindset today. So what exactly is an earthly mindset? In James 3, as was just read to us, he specifically talks about two things that are foundational in having an earthly mindset. The first thing is envy, and the second is selfish ambition. So we all know what envy is, when we want something that somebody else has. And selfish ambition is defined as devoted to or caring only for yourself, concerned primarily with your own interests, your own welfare, regardless of others. So James certainly does not tread lightly when talking about these two characteristics. He says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, in quotations, does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. In a world that values materialism and success and getting ahead, I think the topic of ambition is something important for us to have a look at. In reviewing recent studies that look at what do people want, the answer is more. They want more success in their professional lives. They want more happiness in their personal lives. They want more passion and presence in their relationships. They want more money, more energy, more productivity, more time with their families and loved ones. They want more meaning, more results. Most everyone wants more of the good things that life has to offer, and they want those things more. So while some of these things make sense to us, even from a Christian perspective, when our overall mindset is wanting more, It's easy to go down that pathway of selfish ambition and bitter envy. So why does the Bible speak so strongly against something that seems to be the catalyst of people nowadays being successful in their lives, getting ahead? As Christians, we understand that God has a deep love for us and he wants what's best for us. That's why he encourages us to live according to his values. As parents, we understand this. We give direction to our children because we want the best for them. We don't want them to be harmed. And God does the same thing for us. So why does God caution us against envy and selfish ambition? Psychological studies tell us that the more we experience a deflated sense of power and disappointment in our social standing, that is, the more that we're disappointed in how much money we're making or how successful we are compared to other people, the higher the risk of experiencing depression and anxiety. These are two mental health problems that are growing quite quickly and we know are detrimental in people's lives. So you see, it's not simply the reality that leads us to depression and anxiety, but how we see ourselves in connection to other people. Now, that's one cause of depression and anxiety. There's lots of other causes, and I'm not going into that today, but today we're going to focus on this one piece about how we see ourselves in relationship to other people. A study found that people who live in countries where there's very high levels of income inequality, meaning some people make a lot of money and other people, they don't make much money at all. Those are the countries where people are three times more likely to suffer from depression and anxiety compared to countries where the income is pretty much level across the playing field. So the larger the gap between the rich and the poor, the more we see people striving for wealth and striving for power, and the more striving there is for wealth and power, the more we see depression and anxiety. So our self-worth can become deeply intertwined with our social status. One of the many reasons that the rate of teenagers' rate of depression and anxiety is increasing significantly in the past 5 years. Social media has completely changed our experience as social beings. It's tough being a teenager today. I see we have a lot of teenagers here today. Someone recently gave me a description of what it's like being a teenager, so I'm going to read this. Nod your head if you think that this is right. Being a teenager is a draining full-time job that includes doing schoolwork, managing a social media identity, and fretting about your career, the climate change, sexism, racism, you name it. Every fight or slight is documented online for hours or days after the incident. It's exhausting. Sound right, teenagers? Yeah. So it's understandable why anxiety and depression can develop. Again, this is not the only reason for teenage depression and anxiety. It certainly does exist without social media, but social media has a way of making it even more complex. Psychological studies also show us that what motivates us will have a significant impact on our well-being. We can be intrinsically motivated or extrinsically motivated. If I'm intrinsically motivated, the type of things that might be important would be things like, I want to be close to people. I want to make a difference in the world. I want to do something good for the universe. Sounds like those are the sorts of things that God wants us to do. If I'm extrinsically motivated, the type of things that might be important to me would be, I want to make sure that I have more money than anyone else. I want others to see me as powerful and successful. And whether you're intrinsically motivated or extrinsically motivated, will very much affect how you organize your life. And studies show that people who pursue extrinsic ambitions, or in other words, those who are motivated by selfish ambition, are less satisfied in their lives. End-of-life conversations certainly confirm this. As we all know, no one on their deathbed wishes that they had more money or higher social status. A study done at a hospice found that people at the end of their lives consistently said, "I wish I had been more loving to the people who matter the most. I wish I had been a better spouse, parent, or child. I wish I had not spent so much time working. I wish I had done more for others." So what are the practices that we can engage in to guard ourselves against selfish ambition and bitter envy? A couple of suggestions. Throughout the day, if you find yourself thinking about wanting more, first of all, don't judge yourself. There's enough of that in the world. Just notice that you're wanting more. Pause and ask yourself, in this very moment, what am I grateful for? And if we do this practice consistently, our brains will actually change. We can train our brains to be centered more on gratitude rather than wanting more. And the second thing, of course, is read God's word. Read how God wants us to live our lives, because the instruction, as I said, that God gives us is for our well-being. I'm just going to read a few verses to end here. From Galatians chapter 5, and this is from The Message. "My counsel is this: live freely, animated, and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness." But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. Since this is the kind of life that we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original and loved by God.
So at the back, you'll notice a bulletin board, and it just has family. We're church family. And on this side of the auditorium, we have a map of the world. And today it was great to have Ruth with us from New Guinea, a few miles away from Beamsville, who is with us sharing what it's like on the other side of the world working for Jesus and helping people. There's a global family, that we're all family. And I suspect, if similar to how I started today, if we put on the screen everyone's thoughts, what are you thinking, there would be a variety of thoughts. Just as every person is sitting here today, some people are feeling very, very sad. And there are others who are bursting with joy because of some particular situation that's going to happen, and they're really excited about that. And you have other people who are, well, you just name any feelings that we have. But we're family. And so when we come together as God's family, we want to encourage each other, help one another, reach across to one another to help each one of us continue to grow in a healthy mindset, a healthy spirit. So Barbara Smith was saying at the end of the scripture reading that when she was at Bayview, there were, you know, statements or so that were made at the end of the reading. And I was thinking about how things have changed in culture and in churches over the years. For several years, my parents attended a country church called the Omaha Church out in the country. Great place for kids to go. There's lots of running around room and so forth. And I don't know what your experience has been in church, but we would always get together, the kids would always get together, and we would sing these children's songs. And some of them actually have a wonderful message that we're going to be sharing throughout the series. And as soon as I say these words, I will not put you in a bad mood by trying to sing it. I will just share this with you. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. And then you can go through your body. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go, all the way through. But do you remember why? What that song was? For the Father up above, say it with me. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little. Where, yeah. And it really is a wonderful, it's a wonderful song. It's not God looking down at you, better do it right or I'm going to get you. It's the idea that God loves us and he's made every part of us to love him back by proving it by how we love one another, reaching out to one another. And we have this relationship, not just with family, not just with friends, but meet new people. As someone once said, once I met someone, I've now gained a friend. And it doesn't have to be reciprocated. We just reach out to one another with love. It helps the way we think. It gives us a proper mindset. We can look at the world and say, how horrible, how terrible this world is. Some places it is. Or we can look at this world and go, wow, what an amazing place. What an amazing experience. You can look outside our kitchen to our deck, and you can look out and you can see bees buzzing around the hummingbird feeder and say, no. And then you watch a hummingbird come in and sip the sugar water and the bees enjoying sipping the sugar water with the hummingbird. Maybe I'm weird, but that excites me to be able to see this, because some people, all they see is cement around them and they see nothing of nature. We have this wonderful opportunity as God's people to come across as family, part of a global family, and to be thinking about one another, to be helping one another. So let me just remind us, and we'll be using the scripture throughout our series, this: it's easier said than done, but I think it's beautiful. And this is where each one of us preaches to ourselves. Do not be anxious about, anybody remember what comes next? Do not be anxious about anything? Really? Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and with petition, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will help to keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's this beautiful passage to say, yes, there are challenging times, but I'm not going to get myself so dragged down into a hole of negative thinking that I forget that God is with me every step of the way. And that when I'm sad, he knows it. And when I'm happy, he knows it. And God is encouraging us always to love him and to live him. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and again, we'll touch on some of these things as the weeks go on, it's a beautiful three-chapter mini sermons, all carrying with it these positive thoughts on healthy living and healthy thinking. And then he says this. At the end of his teaching, Jesus said, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rains came, the streams rose, the winds blew against that house, but it didn't fall, because it was built on a solid foundation. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. The story that Jesus tells is there are going to be storms in our life, but there's a foundation that won't let us go down the drain. That foundation is the relationship with God. So at the start today, I said, what if we put up on the screen what everyone was thinking over the past 24 hours? We might say, not so much. But what if somehow God's words, and we asked him, God, what are you thinking about each one of us? You know what the answer is. I love this person. This is my child. There's never been a moment in her life or his life where I haven't been with them. I've never left. I will never leave. They are mine forever. I love them. With that, we can begin the series of healthy thinking, that we can respond to God the way he pours out his love into our hearts. Let's pray. So Father God, as we come to you today, as we start this series on healthy thinking, please be patient with us. And we thank you that you are. And Father, today I pray for every person here today, that no matter what is happening in their life, that you will touch them with your love, that they may see you and feel you like maybe they never had before. No matter what is happening in any person's life today, we give that person to you, and may your arms be around them and each one of us. Thank you for being with us, and we love you through Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.